With the NFL season almost over and a scintillating-looking Monday Nighter on the way, it's time to talk with Jason Lacanfora. And we had some intriguing matchups yesterday, left a little bit of meat on the bone, which is nice for the final week of the season. But, boy, the teams that came through and the teams that just stumbled to the finish. Let's start with the New Orleans Saints in that division where it was really ripe for the taking. They lose 30-14 at home to a team they cannot lose to. 3-5 on the season. It's just got to be tough to swallow for Drew Brees and just everybody in New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, they lose five straight at home. I think they've won two of the last seven overall. I mean, you looked at their schedule. You go back to sort of, I guess, late October. They had the big primetime win over the Packers. And then the next week they beat the Panthers. And you're kind of like, all right, well, we looked at their schedule and they had all these home games. And you're like, well, they're going to be okay. And they've just been a complete and utter disaster. That's a team that's going to have major changes this offseason. They've got more money dedicated to the 2015 salary cap than anybody else in the NFL. You've got major contractual and personnel issues up and down that roster. A lot of bloated contracts. A lot of guys who got way more money in free agency than they're worth right now. There's going to have to be a recalibration. I wouldn't imagine their defensive coordinator, Rob Ryan, comes back. If Sean Payton wants to try to prove some kind of point by keeping him, I guess he could. But those two have been at each other's throats all year, on the sidelines and otherwise. And the defense has been a complete failure. And the offense isn't nearly as robust as it once was. And you know, letting Sproles go, an aging Drew Brees and an offensive line where you got a lot of guys making a lot of money but not living up to the contracts. All of it's kind of come back to bite them in the butt. They've had a few injuries, obviously, as well, but that's football. But when you see a Saints team losing five times in a row at home, where really any of those wins could have at least kept their season alive in all likelihood, that's hard to fathom. And that's who they are right now. And even in that horribly poor division, they're non-competitive, and they're not playing for anything in Week 17. All it took for the Panthers, they didn't win a game for 2 months. They've won three in a row, and now they've got a chance to control their own destiny. That's how wide open that division was. And there'll be a lot of rumblings about Sean Payton, too. And does he look at that situation and say, maybe I've done all I can do here? You know, he has a contract, but, you know, crazy things happen in this league sometimes, and we'll see if he's in this for the long haul or not. He's been there 10 years, so that is the long haul. But we'll see if that continues. There'll be some rumblings about maybe somebody trying to trade for him or this or that, and I don't know if that'll all be pie-in-the-sky stuff. But I do know that that's a team that's at a crossroads.
And it's a huge win for the Falcons because obviously they host Carolina this coming Sunday. It's one of those big games coming up next week is the NFC South title. Again, here we are talking about the worst division in football, but it sets up for an interesting finale.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Atlanta, I think they've only won like one of their last four. They at least were competitive against Pittsburgh and Green Bay. They won the one they had to win yesterday against the Saints. You know, they got 100 yards out of Julio Jones on a bad hip. I wasn't sure they were going to be able to do that. You know, it's still a very flawed team. I look at how Carolina's running the football now. The last 4 weeks, Carolina's averaging 195 yards per game and over 5 yards per carry. Cam Newton himself has run 24 times in his last two starts, 12 in each. That's going to be a handful for Atlanta. And if the Panthers are able to control the ball in that way against the soft Atlanta defensive line and keep Matt Ryan and those receivers off the field, I like their chances even on the road. I actually think, though, the fairest thing that could happen would be another tie. I mean, that division is so bad, I want to see a team win on a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Because Carolina's two ties would beat Atlanta's one tie. So yeah. You could have a 6-win team with two ties win the division. That's what I'm rooting for.
And if there's a division that would do it, it would be that division this season, right?
I think it'd be perfectly fitting. Yeah.
Lions and Packers, they are set up for the NFC North. The Lions get over the Chicago Bears, who went with Claussen, and we know how that pretty much knew how that was going to end. And Green Bay takes care of business against Tampa Bay, so a nice little finish here. Even though both are going to the postseason, obviously that division title up for grabs.
Yeah, and you know, a chance at the number two seed as well. If we have three teams that finish at 12-4 in the NFC, then the seeding would be Seattle 1, the Green Bay Detroit winner 2 and Dallas 3. So, I mean, week off would be a big deal for really anyone at this time of year. And yeah, the chance to have, you know, at least a couple of home games, or at least be home until the championship game, is significant as well. And Green Bay has been so good at home. And the Lions have been better on the road than we've seen in a long time. But you know, you would tend to think Green Bay gets this done. Detroit struggled with the Chicago team that had Jimmy Clausen at quarterback. But it's not like the Packers looked like, you know, they were world beaters either down in Tampa. I mean, it was kind of fits and starts with them. Aaron Rodgers got hit a lot more than I thought he would, considering Gerald McCoy wasn't playing for Tampa and they had some other injuries. You know, that Packers offensive line all of a sudden is looking a little shakier, and they've suffered some injuries. And Aaron Rodgers is having to run for his life a little more than we saw through the first, you know, 12 weeks of the season. And against that Detroit team, you know, you better look out, because obviously their front four can really get after you. But yeah, I mean, that obviously will settle a lot in the NFC. And we'll see if, you know, Green Bay can keep it going at home.
Jason Lacanfora is our NFL insider here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan for Shank Sports Grill. An emphatic statement by the Dallas Cowboys yesterday as they defeat the Colts. No, they're no joke. 42-7. They won 5 of 6 down the stretch. Perfect 7-0 on the road. Tony Romo playing maybe the best football of his career. I've asked you numerous times this year about where you are in the Cowboys. I'll ask you again. What do you think of Dallas?
When they're able to play their game, they're tough to beat, and they're doing it. It doesn't matter if DeMarco Murray got a broken bone in his hand or whatever. When they get behind that big offensive line and they start road grading people early and they build up a lead, that really works for that defense's favor. And they're a tough team to come back on because they've got multiple guys who can run the football. They can run the ball to either side. They can run the ball right down your throat through the A-gap. And you're right, Tony Romo has got to be in, and he's not going to get the MVP award, but if you start listing 5-6 candidates, he's got to be in there. It's pretty special stuff what he's been able to do, protecting the football, spreading it around, making so many great decisions, still has that mobility, that improvisational flair, but with a little more maturity and experience. It's a hell of an offense. And the defense is okay, good enough, you know, better than Philadelphia's, better than some of these other teams that have been hanging around the periphery of the playoff race. You know, they've been great on the road, which is going to bode well for them because given where they're looking to be seeding-wise, you know, they're not going to get more than one home game. You wouldn't suspect. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But, I mean, Dez Bryant's had a hell of a season. Really, everyone on their offensive line has had, you know, Doug Free's been hurt a fair amount, but otherwise everybody else has had a fairly – you know, excellent season. Jason Witten in the second half of the year has really caught fire again and has seen more of the ball. Cole Beasley the first half of the year, he didn't show up as much. You see him all over the place in big plays now. There's just a lot to fear with that team on offense. And, again, they can run themselves to a lead, and they become a tough team to play.
The Seattle Seahawks have the Rams at home next week with a chance to take their division. Yesterday, 596 yards of offense, a franchise record. They rout at Arizona 35-6. That's a top five defense they made look silly, even if their quarterback spot is obviously up in the air in Arizona. But they went to town on that defense, and since going 3-3, they've gone 8-1. Are they better than they were a year ago? Because some are suggesting maybe they are.
You know, defensively they may be, you know, and that's hard to fathom. And that's another team. Let's go back to the midpoint of the season. They weren't getting sacks. They weren't turning teams over. They were dropping a lot of interceptions. I don't think Earl Thomas had a pick until week 10 or week 12. Sherman was not nearly on last year's pace. And now everybody, I mean, everything is clicking. The loss of Brandon Kneebane looked like it might be damning to their run defense. They haven't missed a beat. If anything, they've ramped it up as the season's gone on. It's a special unit, a special group, and there's a lot of self-belief there and a lot of confidence and determination. Offensively, it's kind of the same deal, except I feel like Marshawn Lynch, even last year, was maybe a little bit more banged up than this year. He's certainly been stronger down the stretch. Russell Wilson's ability to run is, you know, unsurpassed at his position. They've got, you know, Turbin can get it done. We saw the kid Michael last night get more of the ball than usual and thrive. All of a sudden, they've got a tight end now making huge plays where that position has pretty much been a void for them the last 2 years. Look, they don't have a lot of household names at receiver and this or that, but it's a fairly when they get the run game going, that becomes a much more creative offensive scheme for Daryl Bevel, and it opens up the screen game, opens up stuff in the seam for the tight end Wilson. The bottom line is if they get the one seed, guys, I mean, and it looks like they're going to, everybody knows how tough it is to go to Seattle and get a win up there. Not saying it can't be done, but, man, I would think a team like Detroit, so good against the run, and a team that has a little bit of a gunslinger at quarterback and maybe could score points in bunches if they had to. I mean, Calvin Johnson's a tough matchup for anybody in the league. I mean, I wonder if that's the team that maybe could go up there and get it done if they had to. I mean, Green Bay, I know it was way back in week one, but they weren't ready to play Seattle in that game. They wanted no part of Richard Sherman. Now, lots changed since then, and obviously Green Bay scores points, but, boy, I don't know. You start looking at the other matchups, and it could be awful tough for anybody to win in Seattle.
As always, my man, appreciate it. Have yourself a great Christmas. We'll
my
talk
pleasure,
to you.
My pleasure, guys.
Yeah,
we'll you talk do the same.
The absolutely.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.
There's Jason Lockenfora, our NFL insider for Shank Sports Grill, where tonight you may witness the Cincinnati Bengals clinching a playoff spot.